listeners, welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast. I am Chuck Peters, and I'm here with Jana Magruder. Hey, Jana.
Hello.
And we're talking about vision.
Yes.
We started that together. We thought this was going to be a two-part series, and our last episode went really long.
Yeah.
So listeners, if you made it through that, thank you for sticking with us.
It was one of our longest ever.
Ever, which we'll put it in the record books, and I'm going to take that as a win.
Yes.
It was a win. Because producer Nathan said it was actually good.
Yeah.
He's like, it was long, but it was, what's the word that you used? Amazing, compelling, fantastic. All good things.
Life-changing.
All good things. Well, so we're back to talk a little bit more about vision. We talked about the importance of checking your vision last time. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to talk a little bit about crafting that vision.
Yes. And I'm excited to hear from you again, because this is kind of your space. Leadership space is where you really shine, Chuck. You shine in a lot of spaces.
I was going to say, the other spaces, you're kind of dull, is what, what I just heard. You're kind of not so shiny in these other areas, but this was, no, I'm playing with you.
You said that, not me.
I did.
No, but seriously.
You didn't argue that much.
No.
Noted. Okay, no.
Which is why, you know, it was our record podcast in length, because you have a lot to say about this. And usually you're the host and, you know, you can kind of sit in the driver's seat of how long things go. But now...
Which is why it's a multi-part series, listeners, right? Because we couldn't just do 3 hours.
Yes.
That's too much.
So this is part two of the vision series. Part one was all about checking your vision.
Yeah, we talked about our bad eyesight.
We talked about our bad eyesight.
Yeah, and not having tunnel vision or nearsightedness, which are such problems for us, right, as leaders.
Yeah, good analogies for how we can look at our ministry focus or lack of focus. And then you gave us five ways to start.
Five benefits. Of checking that vision. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yes. So be sure and check out part one if you haven't listened yet. But today is part two. And we're going to start talking about crafting your vision, which I'm super excited about. I haven't heard this presentation yet, although I do have your PowerPoint sitting right here in front of me, which is what we're referencing. So talk to us about, you know, where to begin. Once I've checked my vision, now I want to actually start crafting my vision. What do I do first?
I can't help but feel like we need a but first. You just said but first. Like, I feel like we need a little bit of a but first. So when I look at that word crafting, it's not like a word that we normally use every day. Maybe like if you're a crafter, when you hear the word crafting for you, what comes to mind?
Like doing crafts.
Okay. And so in your mind's eye, what kind of crafts might you be doing?
Who,
when
me?
You're crafting? Yes. Or someone.
I'm actually not really into crafts. A lot of gals my age are, but I'm not.
But you think of, I mean, in children's ministry, right? Yeah. We're crafting all the time.
Right.
I think of the cotton balls and glitter kind of crafts, or do you think of
popsicle sticks?
I sort of think of somebody like making like a little doily kind of thing.
Yeah,
like,
those are the kind crafting that I don't do.
I'm sorry. Some listener out there is like, no, that's not crafting. That's different. That's crocheting, which is not, it doesn't fit into my storyline. So for some reason, and I know this is totally different, and this is my brain being divergent or whatever it is, there's a word for it, is I think of Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Oh,
I spell it with the K, and I think of like the mac and cheese, which I don't make and don't eat and don't have, but I know that blue box.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Brand recognition.
Mac and cheese, are you a mac and cheese person in
general? I am not.
Wait, so you're from Texas.
Yeah.
I'm from Jersey, California. Mm-hmm. When I moved to the South, I learned that mac and cheese is a vegetable.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's one of the sides that you can get.
It is. When you go to a meat
and
three.
When you get a veggie plate, mac
Tennessee
and cheese
has this thing,
them.
If you don't know, that's called a meat and three. It's a restaurant. You go to the restaurant, you order your meat. I'll have the chicken, fried chicken. And then you pick your three sides, your three vegetables. And it's like green beans. Mm-hmm. Baked beans.
mac
and cheese, right? And there's your things. And it's awesome. It's really awesome. But mac and cheese is a vegetable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
There. That was my aside.
Okay.
That's all I needed. I had to get that out.
Crafting your vision will have a different meaning now.
Crafting your vision might mean crocheting something, or it might mean glitter glue, or it could mean stirring up that mac and cheese. Like, it's like water, butter, stir, right? Isn't that kind of what it is?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
I've made it a lot of times, but I don't need it.
I had to get all of that out of my head so I could concentrate on what we're here to talk about. Otherwise, I'd be thinking.
We need to focus. Remember, we checked our vision. It is now time to refocus.
Yes. Let's do that.
Okay.
All right, so we're talking about crafting vision.
That's
right.
Where do we begin?
I had talked last time about the eye exam. And so, you know, that the little bit of dread that I had as having poor eyesight to go into that, we're beyond the dread. Because last time we talked about why it's so important to check your vision, that there's a whole lot of benefits to getting some sort of correction, right? So that we can see more clearly what it is that we're doing and why. And there's so many benefits, at least five that we talked about last time. So this time I want to talk about some lenses that as we look at mission, vision, values statement, as we clarify our why, that we're using some things to help us measure that clarity. And so I think of that giant machine, you know, when you go to the eye doctor, you sit up in that chair and they swing that huge device in front of your face and it has like all the things that rotate and spin. It's like chick, 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 all these lenses. Yep. And then they like flip them over. They're like, better A or B?
Stresses me out.
You know, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Think about that machine.
Yes.
Right? Okay. That's what I want to slide in front of us today.
Okay.
So we're going to slide that
in there.
But
hopefully we're only going to talk about a few lenses.
Just a couple lenses. Better A or B, right? That's, yeah, another stressor from my childhood. Thank you, poor eyesight. So those three lenses that we want to use as we talk about what is it that makes a good vision statement or a good why are these. And so I'll just give you all three. The first one is we want something that's missional. So it's three M's because, okay, you know, I like things that start with the same letter. So it's missional. And so this is what helps us clearly state what is our purpose? What is that why? What is our reason? And what is the payoff? That's that missional aspect of a really good why. Why are we doing this? The next one is it needs to be motivational. We talked about recruiting people with the why last time and how when we can recruit with passion and purpose, that's contagious. And we'll get people who, if they're bought into our why, they're in, right? We got them. And so we want this to be motivational. And so it needs to be compelling and inspiring, not just clear, right? Because we can have something clear and boring or clear and not compelling or clear and not exciting.
Right.
Clear, but I don't want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. So we want it to be something that's motivational, that makes you say, wow, I want to get bought into that. And then the third one is we want it to be memorable. This is where all the marketing kind of stuff kicks in, right? Because you want a statement that's tight and that's snappy and that's memorable. So it should be simple, a good one, simple, short, catchy. If it's tight, it's right. Tight is right.
Is this the simple, stupid construct?
Could be. I don't
know. Keep it simple, stupid.
Is it keep it simple? That's the kiss, right?
Kiss.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Not in ministry. Let's not use that.
This is the, it's the, because it's missional, memorable, motivational, and memorable. It's that. It's the three M's, except I think 3M is trademarked.
That's the
tape people.
Right.
So we can't go there. It's M3.
Back to crafts.
Oh, well, that might be a BMW. All right. So how do you get there? You had said last time, where do you start?
Yeah.
And what do you do? My favorite place to start, and I know that you know this because we've worked together so long, is with brainstorm. Yes. And so is the best place, I think, and I recommend this, is you do, first of all, when you're crafting a mission statement or a why statement, don't do it alone.
Yeah.
This is not something you want to do in isolation.
It's a collaboration effort.
Yes. You need to have the right people in the room. Yes. So one of the most important things you can do is decide who are those people. Mm-hmm. So you may have key leaders or partners in your ministry. You want to include them. You may have some people who are key influencers who may or may not be on your staff, but they're people who understand your passion and share your passion for what you're trying to do. And so including the right people is really key.
Yes.
And then you want to do an exercise where you just pull out all the ideas. Yeah. So I had at Lifeway, you and I have worked together now I've been with Lifeway for 10 years. You've been here a little bit longer.
11.
10 years together, with us together. And we've had during that time, three different offices.
Yeah.
Like different buildings for us. We had two different offices in the first building that we were in.
Right.
Two different buildings, same complex. Yeah. And so in one of those offices, do you remember my wall with the paper?
Mm-hmm.
There was,
this all started in our first office. It was your windows.
With the window.
Yes.
Yeah. So I loved like with getting a dry erase
windows.
Marker and writing on windows to capture notes and ideas just as they come. Oh. And I just like to scribble things and capture those thoughts. they don't always make sense in the moment. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just a thought and you're like, yeah, I need to write that down somewhere.
Capture it.
Like 3 M's, missional, motivational, and memorable.
Right.
Just write that down.
Yes.
Someday it'll make it on a podcast. Who knows? Today is that day for those particular M's. So I'm a huge fan of brainstorming and a proponent of that. So in that particular office, I had these big tear sheets that were like—
Because you had no windows.
No windows.
The second office had no windows. Interior office.
That's right. So it was the fishbowl.
And no ability to hang a whiteboard. So you got tear sheets—
That floor you put to ceiling.
You wallpapered your walls with tear sheets.
Yeah.
And then you got to doodle and scribble.
So this slide that is in the slideshow here.
I wish everyone could see this.
You can't see it, but if you start to look at that, Jana, there's things that came out of meetings that I had with multiple mm-hmm. people, many mm-hmm. of them with you, mm-hmm. where we scratched words on here. And so just looking at this, I see things like value innovation over emulation. That's we want to be original, mm-hmm. right? That's I see the importance of relationships is written on here multiple places. How do we help, you know? And so there's all these different ideas that have been captured over the course of time that many of these, if we go back and we were to really dig in on these old notes, we would mm-hmm. see, boy, we've implemented that somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool. A lot of these turned into our hi-fi resource. Mm-hmm. There were notes that we had from conversations a year before we started that work that were inspiration for that. So a brainstorm is something that you can do continually where you're just capturing thoughts in the moment, grab them in a journal, write them on a wall, save them somewhere, or it can be a really focused time together. A regular part of what you and I get to do is we get in a room and we're like, okay, we're going to work on our new special needs initiative together. And we'll just get a whiteboard and a marker and we will just go and we'll start to write ideas and talk about things and bounce them around and capture them. And so that's this first step. The first step is get the right people in the space, get a whiteboard or a wall covered with paper and start to write things down. Now, I really like putting them on a wall rather than just in a journal for this collaborative purpose.
And this is the stage where there's no wrong answers.
That's right.
We call it the wonder phase where you get to just really turn on all your creativity.
Yes.
Get it all out
Everything goes.
Yep.
And so, okay, but we're not just randomly scribbling any ideas. We want to focus these. Yes. And so this is where the tip comes in. So the focus here is do this with three buckets of topics to cover. So the first one is a word that we've used a couple times now, and that is values. Mm-hmm. So let's brainstorm what are our values, top things that we value here at our church, that we value personally, that we value as a team, that we value as a congregation. And so your values feed your vision. So you need to have those. They're the fuel. And so these are things that you feel strongly about that make you who you are. So like within a church, these are things that we feel strongly about that make us who we are. And there are non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. So you and I talk about like some things that you hold tightly and things that you hold loosely, right? These are those closed-handed things that these are things that are absolutely important to us.
And it's what makes up your culture. So if you think about your church culture, what are those things that have spoken into that?
Yeah.
That's your values.
And so talk about that. What are those things that we value? And then you just start to throw them out. We value the Bible. We value talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. We value relational connection. We value, and we could go on and on and on, whatever those things are, and capture a whole bunch of them. Then move on to talk about, okay, let's talk about needs. The next bucket is needs. Okay. Our needs inform our vision. So values feed the vision. Needs inform the vision. So the need would be, what are things that kids in our culture, in our community, and in our church need to know, feel, experience, and experience to understand the gospel? So what are the needs of a kid? What do they need to know, feel, and experience to understand the gospel? And then we start to talk about that. Okay, well, what do they need? They need a certain type of engagement, right? They need to feel safe, emotionally safe. They need to feel seen. They need to feel connected. They need to feel like they have a voice. They need to feel a sense of trust with the leader that they have. And so those are some feeling things, some needs mm-hmm. that kids would have. Mm-hmm. So capture those values, capture those needs. And then the third one would be capture some desires. Desires are what drive your vision. So the desires, these are the outcomes that we want kids and families to receive as the payoff. We talked last time is we need to deliver on the payoff. You know, it's the hamburger that looks great in the picture, but the one you get is kind of sad, sad and lame, doesn't come through. So we want to brainstorm what are those payoffs that we want families to see that they will receive or that they will, how they'll benefit for being a part of our ministry. And so these are the promises that we want to make. So those three things are values, a child's needs, and then the desires or the promises that we want to have are great spaces to spend time focusing with your team and just pull out all the words that they say.
And because of that, I think it would be really important to have some parents in that room.
It could be. Yeah. And you may do this in phases. Mm-hmm. You may say, we want to do this. We're going to get to casting vision in another episode where we're talking about how to roll it out and explain it. But sometimes this is done maybe initially with an internal group because you do want this to be a safe place where all ideas are game. And we can throw them all up on there and they may not be ready for us to roll out to the public where depending on the parent, maybe they can be in that room. Mm-hmm. I think you or I could be as parents. but you want to be careful that you're not putting something up there for a parent that's like, well, whoa, 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 I want that thing.
Right.
Right. And you're not, now you're telling me you're not going to deliver that thing. Well, we can't do everything.
Yeah.
Right. We need to figure out what's the right thing.
Right.
So I do like an internal team approach. Mm-hmm. However, as you move forward to as maybe a second round to say, okay, now let's take these ideas we have and let's run them through some filters.
Right.
Let's run them past some other members of the staff who are not on the kids team. Let's run them through some trusted keyword, trusted friends and parents to say, how does this look to you? How does it resonate with you?
Yeah. Cause you would want a finger on the pulse of what the desires back to your church culture. If they're in your church, then there are some expectations for what those outcomes would be. So by the time your child is finished with kids ministry and going on to student ministry, what are those outcomes?
Yes.
I think other staff members, your senior pastor even is going to speak into, we want to be able to say that every child is going to have a, you know, fundamental understanding of how to use their Bible, you know, whatever those outcomes are. I think that, you know, those felt needs could be spoken into by parents and by pastors.
So at the end of the day, every good mission, vision, values, why statement really needs to be informed by these things here, by your values, the needs of the child, and the desires for the family for outcomes, but also by the specific culture and vision of your church.
Yes.
So as we get into crafting and drafting a mission statement, one of the most important things to remember here is this is not your why.
Yeah.
This is your church's why. Mm-hmm. And that's really key. So if you think about it, right, many people will leave one church and go to work for another one at some point in time. God will move you and change your ministry and somebody else will come in. The vision that you're writing, now it's great to have your own personal why that we all benefit from having our own. However, the exercise we're talking about is what's the why for your church in its context.
Mm-hmm. Extremely customizable.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there are four circles that you're not going to find in the PowerPoint because it's not in this one, Jana.
Okay.
But there are four circles that are areas that we need to use as we evaluate and contextualize the why. So the first one is we need to know what's happening in the culture. That's the broadest circle. Flip the Script did a great job in helping us identify and understand the needs of this generation at this point in time, those cultural needs. And so we need to be aware, we're a church in North America in 2024. There are cultural things that we need to be aware of. Then we need to understand the next circle in is our community. In the community, our specific community, it may be very different if you live in Seattle than if you live in Savannah, or in a big city or a small town. The community itself influences the values, needs, and desires, right? And so we're going to have different kids from different backgrounds. And so therefore our church that is in that setting is going to have, the vision needs to be informed by the community that your church is in. The next one is the church itself. So even within a community, in my little tiny town in Spring Hill, Tennessee, there's probably 14 or 15 churches within a very small radius. Mm-hmm. It's a little tiny town. every one of those churches is distinct and unique. And so the vision for each of them needs to be unique to that body, right, to that church. It's not even by the road that it's on, it's by what's inside the doors. Mm-hmm. And so your church has its own culture and its mm-hmm. own values. And so as you're pulling out these values, needs, and desires, they need to be informed by the culture, by the community, by the church. Mm-hmm. And then an understanding of the fourth C in these four circles is the individual child. Mm-hmm. Is you need to know the specific kids in your church mm-hmm. and to know the needs of Judd and Jake and Savaya and Michaela, those kids known mm-hmm. by name with the needs that they have where they are. And so that helps us get our focus right as we draft a vision statement. It's not for me, it's for the church, and it's really in that setting. So as you get into that brainstorming and you start to pull things out, the next step would be to go back and you're going to capture a whole lot of ideas. There may be hundreds of words that you scribble on that mm-hmm. on that wall or on that screen. And then you want to go back and highlight, look for ones that are repeated or ones that if you were writing them, like which ones you want to bold or make mm-hmm. bigger or circle or underline and start to pull those out. And so those may be things like, boy, in this current climate, in our context, it might be things like belonging is something that we know is really key. That's a word that we want to emphasize, that feeling of belonging in our church. Maybe it's connection. Maybe it's knowing or following Jesus, but maybe there's that idea of Jesus that's key. Identity in Christ is one that's a big one. As this culture of kids we know is searching for identity to answer that question and to define themselves, for the church to speak to identity, who they are in Jesus, could be a key that we want to emphasize. Maybe it's about sound biblical teaching or relational discipleship or gospel transformation. Maybe it's the idea, like we had talked about, that we want to have longevity or lasting faith as an outcome. And so pull out those keywords and you want to whittle that list down. Mm-hmm. So you've gone from a big, broad list of a bunch of ideas.
You start to see some trends.
Looking for those mm-hmm. trends, looking for the things that pop, looking for the things that make your heart beat a little faster right. when you see those. And the ones that line up, target and filter mm-hmm. with your church and your community. Mm-hmm. And so then you can start to craft out of those words something that might look like an actionable statement. And again, we don't want a vision that just is on a frame on a wall. We want something that we can use every day. And so is it something like maybe pulling out some of the words I just said, something like equipping kids to know, grow, and show God's love? Mm-hmm. Okay, there's equipping is a key word. It's active. It's a little catchy with no, grow, and show, right? Maybe a little bit long. Here's another one. Maybe it's to be with Jesus and become like him for the sake of the world. That happens to be what my church leads with. Okay. That's ours. And so in that, your church's vision statement can really strongly influence and should what we're doing in students and in kids. And so a contextualized version of the bigger mission is always the best goal. Yeah. Is we want, it's okay, what does it look like in kids to be with Jesus and to become like him? Wow, that's a great mission, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The idea of being and becoming, being with him and becoming like him, man, that's a compelling goal. Maybe it's, here's another, churches to find friends and follow Jesus. So, okay, friends may feel a little soft, right? However, if it includes the idea of relational connections and knowing how important that is in the culture, but the idea of following Jesus, right? The point would be your words need to be your words that are pulled from your values, your desires, your intended outcomes, and you want to boil it down to something that is clear and compelling. And so for me, as a child of the 80s, and I was young in the 70s, really young in the 70s, but there was this game show it was all about TV game shows, right?
Yes.
Which is one of my love languages. Is TV, especially game shows, especially those with music connected to them. So do you remember that show, Name That Tune? You never saw it because you're so young.
I don't think I do remember the actual TV show. I think I've played a board game or something. Yeah.
Right? So the concept of Name That Tune.
Sure. I think
for you youngsters out there, let me explain. I'm not old enough to remember, but I do because I was advanced as a television watcher. Yeah. So Name That Tune was a game, a competitive show mm-hmm. where you had contestants and they were going to play a song like on a piano and they're just going to play however many notes.
Yes.
Dung, 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 whatever that is. I just made that up. It's not a real song.
Okay.
And the idea was they bid, like, how many notes can they name that tune? I can name that tune in 8 notes. Well, 8 notes is kind of a lot. And then the next person's like, I can name that tune in 6 notes.
Before they've heard it.
Yeah. They have to do it before they've heard it. And it's like an auction. They go back and forth, right? And somebody's like, I can name that tune in 3 notes. And the other person is like, okay, I'm tapping out. And they're like, name that tune.
Do they have any kind of category?
I don't remember.
It could be anything.
I don't remember, Jana. All I know is that this is how the game plays. Okay. And then, so it's like, if we get down to it and you're like, you can name that tune in 3 notes. I'm like, name that tune, Jana. Go ahead. Uh-huh. And then the person plays the 3 notes. Dun, dun, dun. You're like, oh, that was the NBC theme.
That was
theme.
NBC.
See, so you can do it in 3 notes. That's all there are. So the whole idea was, how tight can you get it? Mm-hmm. That's the kind of exercise that I want to encourage leaders to have. How tight?
Brevity.
Brevity, mm-hmm. please. What you don't want is you don't want the manuscript that's like a 19-page a doctrinal statement. Yeah. What you want is you want something that fits on the t-shirt.
That's right.
You want it to fit on a poster on the wall.
Coffee mug.
Something that can be your email signature on your coffee mug. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that you can be like, boom, here's what it is. So that whole idea of be and become, right? We had be with Jesus and become like him for the sake of the world. That boils down really easily to be and become. Hmm? What we do here is we want kids to be and become. Wow. Okay. So first of all, does it pass our test? If we go back to the beginning, is it missional? Yeah. Okay. Well, I want them to become like Jesus and to be with him. Is it motivational? Boy, that's a compelling thing to want. Mm-hmm. Is it memorable? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it passes all 3 of those lens tests. Going back to the other one that I had pulled, helping kids find and follow Jesus. Maybe we drop the friends part. We want them to find and follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. Keeps the emphasis there. Find and follow becomes a tight. What's our purpose? We want kids to find and follow. And so you can see how we can get it tight. We, with Lifeway Kids years ago, we used icons.
Yep.
We didn't even have to use words. And so we were able to boil down a statement that we used as a target and a filter, mm-hmm. that we said the resources that we create within Lifeway Kids, and we shared this with Lifeway students, same values, is we want our ministries to be kingdom expanding, heart transforming, and culture shaping. And that's how we want kids to be minded, right? When they come out. And so in that, kingdom expanding became a picture of a crown, mm-hmm. just kind of sketched. Heart transforming was a heart, and culture shaping an arrow. And so we didn't even need the words.
Yeah.
We had big signs that we used to have up that was a crown, a heart, and an arrow, and everybody knew what those things stood for. And so if you can make it visual, it's even better. The idea would be whatever that thing is, make it clear, make it clean, make it simple, make it compelling. And as you get there, make it your own, but your church is not yours. And then as you get there, you can then cast that vision. And that's going to be our next episode.
Stay tuned for part 3.
Yeah.
To learn about casting your vision. So thank you so much for sharing about crafting. Craft with a C, not a K.
With a C, not a K. And this was super high level, guys, right? The idea is you're going to spend hours and hours to get there. And there's work that goes involved in crafting something like this. But to kind of just give yourself a framework for where do we start and how do we get there? Crafting and drafting is the way to go.
Crafting and drafting. I love it.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're starting with the brainstorming is drafting.
That's great.
Okay. So are we wrapping up this one?
Yeah, let's wrap this one. Hey, listeners, thank you for listening. We'll see. I hope you have a great week crafting and drafting. Work on those things. Figure out who your people are that you want to pull together. Find a space that would be good for your brainstorm and start to pull these things together and start to gather some of those big words as you move forward in crafting and drafting your mission statement. Thank you for listening today. We'll see you back again next time for another episode of the Kids Ministry 101 podcast.